Welcome to another episode of The Journey from Being Hurt to Healing. For Dee Gatherite is your host. During this journey, he will provide comfort, support, and an opportunity to grow. This podcast is designed to provide hope, give options, introduce laws of freedom, give strategies to maintain and to sustain, discuss how to fight the negative drive. The goal is to be made whole. Now, we present Dee Gatherite, the motivational author.
Good morning, good morning. We are excited that you have decided to be a part of this listening adventure. We are excited to have you. We are super thrilled for the individuals that have made this a habit. So thank you so much. Again, the thank you poem will be at the end to let you know how we appreciate you. Today we have a treat. We have my dad that have raised me for the years that he have. And what we're trying to do this month is, in America, we're celebrating African American History Month. So we have my dad, and I chose him because of the unique challenges that he faced in coming from the North to the South. And so before we continue on, let us say a prayer. Lord, we thank you right now, God, for the listening audience. We thank you, Lord, for those that have decided to tune in. We pray that something is said that will help them, Lord, today on their journey. Lord, we bless you, we thank you, we magnify you and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So back to my dad and this interview that we're going to do today. We're doing it in the sense of the struggle that a lot of African Americans went through and the healing that they did not experience, or that they experienced through God. I would say it like that. The experience that they experienced through their creator. So today is a treat because you get to hear how my dad in this interview is talking about how he survived it. What did he do to be okay mentally? Now, we talk often about the being from hurt to healed. You heard in the previous episode my disclosure, how I opened up and said that the journey that I was on and how I got to where I'm at today. So I was curious, and I said that since this month is upon us, and instead of us starting it off with someone else, I said, well, let me just check with my dad, because I know with him having a third grade education, with him moving from South, Delta South, all the way in the South to Chicago, how did he do it? What was his strategy? And you will hear his strategy today. But I want to just say this prior to him coming on with the interview, that mediocrity is living below our known true potential. And here, how tragic it is that most of the nearly 6 billion people on this planet will settle for an average life limited only by their unwillingness to extend themselves to the summit of their own selves. Anything less than the maximum is mediocrity. In other words, many are at this state of mediocrity. In other words, mediocrity may be defined as the region of our lives bounded by the North by compromise, on the South by indecision, on the East by past thinking, and on the West by lack of vision. Mediocrity is the spirit of the average, the anthem of the norm, and the heartbeat of the ordinary. Mediocrity is the common and pervasive that those who are labeled as genuine or exceptional have to do only a little extra. I stop here to say that prior to the interview, because one of the things I notice about my dad, even as he's talking and you're getting information, and I want you hopefully to pay real close attention and take you some notes on what he says repetitively. It's very important to pay attention to what he says repetitively. We're going to come back, sum it up. But the main thing I wanted to do prior to him speaking is just I help us to understand that he did not live a life, even though he did not know it at the time, might, depending on how he responds to certain things, even the true potential that he has, as that he was unwilling to stay where he was, but he chose to extend himself. And that's what we're saying today, people, that you are strengthening yourself as you're looking for a strength-based resource. Want you to extend yourself beyond what you're known to do. Because if you don't, you'll get what you've always been getting. But pay attention to the story. Pay attention to how he extended himself. Pay attention how he did not allow his life to be defined by others' definition of him. And then also pay attention to how he decided that he did not want to do what was common at the time. He decided to do something uncommon. And one of the things I want to point out is the fact that the man only had a third grade education, that he had 18 children. Not only did he have 18 children, but he traveled miles away from his home. You'll hear all the story, but I want you to keep in mind these challenges and the fact that he was hurt through, at this particular time in history, was the Willie Lynch laws. I'm sorry, not the Willie Lynch laws, the Jim Crow laws that caused you to get lynched. So he had all of this that was taking place, but he did not allow it to stop him. He did not allow it to hinder him. And I say often to a lot of people, these individuals have far less than what we had, and they're doing more. We have more and doing far less. So I want you to challenge yourself this week, this upcoming week, as we talk about the past. Say no to the past, yes to your future. And by you saying yes to your future right now, you are determining your destiny. So let's listen in to this interview that is with someone I highly appreciate. Thankful to God that he's still a part of my life. So while he's a part of my life, let's listen to his interview. Today we are excited, delighted that we are interviewing my dad. And what we're going to be talking about, we mentioned it earlier in regards to strength-based, how you were able to. So our question today, Dad, we know you have so much to say, and we're just going to yield the floor over to you. We just want to know, thinking in terms of the things that you did in growing up. Got a little notes here where it says that, you know, raising 18 children, me being one of them. No, just raising me was a handful. Then helping your mom. Then got a few notes, and you can clarify when you get a chance. And being instrumental, and it's the part that we really want to kind of, you know, hear from you about, being instrumental in moving your family, your mom, dad, and your siblings to the north, because we're thinking in terms of how you were able to do that in a time where the Jim Crow laws were, time where black people were basically getting lynched, had times and all that stuff that was taking place. And how did you do it psychologically? I mean, your thoughts, and you let us know.
The secret to that is trusting God. That's why I say in all thy ways, and the scripture said in all thy ways, acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. See, a lot of folks try to do things on their own, which that's when they make their first mistake. But we got to do things depending on God. We can't do nothing without him. That's why I said in all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. See, we can't do nothing on our own. We got to lean and depend on God. My favorite song, when I get to myself and get lonely, I'll sing this song, I'm going to trust in God until I die. And that's what a lot of people don't do. They just trust in themselves. In the flesh, you can make mistakes. But leaning and depending on the Lord, there are no mistakes. God will lead and guide you into all truth. And that's what we got to do. We got to trust God. And we don't do nothing on our own flesh and let flesh stick its chest out. Flesh can't do nothing. One thing we go to do, we ought to pray and seek God out and see if God really wants us to do that. And that's what we got to do. You can't just go on your own, because in your own flesh make mistakes. And with God, there's no mistake. And that's what we got to do. You got to trust him.
Okay, so you're saying that when you were growing up, you were trusting God through all the things that were taking place at that time.
My granddaddy was a great believer in God and uncles and things. And that what let me lean and depend on God in all my ways. A lot of times our flesh wanted to get out the way. But my grandmother used to tell me, "That's the ever seeing eyes watching you." And I believed it that. I believed that something was bigger than grandmama, big mama, watching me. And she used to tell me, "I don't know everything you do, but I know a God that do know." And she would pray, and I had fear in my heart for God. And I just didn't do anything. I feared God. And I had fear in God that was a heaven somewhere. And your mama went to sang a song, "There's a city called heaven, and I want to make it." And in my heart, in my mind, I always believed there was a city called heaven somewhere, and I want to make it. And I know there was something over this. If somebody wouldn't treat me right, I'd tell God on them. And I feel like now I can still tell God. I got many places trusting God, leaning and depending on God.
Well, when you was growing up, I mean, you have a lot of people that say, you know, they got these arguments about God and trying to put him in a place when you're actually going through the situation. You're actually going through the situation. And some people have the thing whereas, oh, you know, I'm going to do what I need to do at this moment. You're saying that you just trust the God. However, there are a lot of arguments out there with individuals saying that it was a white man God, it was somebody else's God. What would you say to the listeners out there that might have a problem with when somebody say God, you know, what would you say to those individuals?
Well, when they would tell me that was a white man's God, I tell them that's their opinion. But I know a God of the universe. He everybody's God. And that's what I would still hold on to my faith and my belief. And I think everybody should be that way. Not nobody say, "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure ain't no white man, ain't no black man's God. It's a white man's God." Let them believe whatever they want to believe. If they ain't got to, you can get up and say, "The mayor ain't the mayor. The president ain't the president." That don't make you true because they said it. But you just act like he ain't.
What sticks out the most when you're, because I'm anxious to wonder, what sticks out the most when you was coming from the South to the North? What sticks out the most in your mind that you treasure the most in regards to that challenge?
Well, what stuck out my mind, keep my faith. Whatever I believe, don't let nobody change it. Keep it. When I was coming from the South, I didn't have nothing. But I know God had it. God would make a way somehow. How he was going to make a way, I didn't know. It wasn't my business how he was going to make a way. But I know one thing, he was the way, and I was going to trust him. And that's the way I seen it. Even my twin brother sometimes, "Oh, man, that's a white man." I let him go on like that. It's okay, that's your belief. But my belief, there's a God somewhere. And I know God will hear and answer prayer.
What was the age? I think you told us before you were like 12, 13 that you left.
I was about 13.
About 13?
Mm-hmm. I left my daddy's house when I was 16. for good, didn't go back.
Now, that time, I think you were telling me that you went to Florida first, and then you...
I went to Florida first.
Went to Florida first.
Mm-hmm. I remember one time, Daddy told me, they go work for this white man. He was taking everything from black folk. And I told Daddy, I said, I disagree, because I don't want to kill him. Because if he take all everything I got and leave me with nothing, I would kill him. Simple as that. And keep me from killing a white man, I just don't want to work for him. That was before Emmett Till got killed.
Now, you said he was thinking about killing him. What you were just saying about faith.
I felt like if I kill him, he wouldn't fool with nobody else like
that. Oh, okay. So
that's the way I felt. And, I felt like that way, he'll be out the way for all older black folks.
So you think he was doing, you think he was fighting for the Lord?
Yeah, and I said, well, I just had to kill him. I said, I ain't working for him. Okay. And I refused to wait for him. Dad said, you know, Jimmy, I'm grown, your mama grown, and here you grown. I tell you one thing, I said, what is that, Dad? Three grown folk can't stay in one house. I said, well, I ain't gonna stay. I'm leaving. You see that road there? I said, yeah, it's going north and south. You can hit the south end or you can hit the north end. What end you gonna hit? That was the 9th day of December, wow. 1954.
Wow.
I took the south end. And the reason I took the south end, it was hot in Florida. And was cold in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I went on, got on the truck and went to Florida. Wow. And that way I left Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And I got there, I picked oranges. Mm-hmm. Then until I got my day job, and I was working by the day. That way it went.
So I wanted to ask you, so were you ever afraid of anything as far as, you know, you leaving the house, you know that you was used to a certain way, but... You say that you wanted to leave because you didn't want to kill the guy. Mm-hmm. And did fear ever set in, or how did you address your fear in leaving? That's, you know.
Yeah, well, I have a fear of what?
No, so were you afraid, I mean, to leave? Were you just...
Oh, no.
You were just tired, frustrated?
No, I could hustle. I could do anything a man do. Mm-hmm. It was afraid. Mm-hmm. Kept money. When I got money, I was... Hold it, spend so much, and keep so much. Mm-hmm. No, I wasn't scared.
Mm-hmm. Was it something that you had looked forward to doing as far as leaving the house, knowing that?
Oh, yeah.
Because you had meant.
I was going to leave because I know that I wasn't gonna work for no white folk and wasn't going to get paid. I know that I'm going to leave.
It wasn't
going to surprise me.
So was that like you were frustrated at what they were doing? And so with that frustration, that pretty much, you think, motivated you to leave up out of there?
No, I didn't like leaving home.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't comfortable.
Uh-huh.
But I know that I was going to have a bed to sleep in. I know I was going to have food to eat because I was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I left home, the rent went for $5 a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I paid.
Mm-hmm.
$20 a month for a bedroom, one bedroom, $5 a week.
Mm-hmm. So you saying that you knew that you basically had a plan as far as working. You knew that you could work. Okay. So you basically left with a plan.
I saved my money. I didn't just go throw my money away. Mm-hmm. I could easily save me $25 a week after paying the rent. I would do that, have food to eat. Mm-hmm. Then at that time, they had boarding housing. Mm-hmm. You go to a boarding house and eat for $20-$25 a week. Mm-hmm. And I could do that, and they done cooked and did it all. Mm-hmm. And so it may not be what you wanted, but that was what you had.
Right, right.
You go in a restaurant, you go in there and eat mm-hmm. all you want and get a full meal.
Well, it sounds great. I mean, I really like the fact, just looking over my notes, the fact that you trusted God. You was not afraid because you had a plan. I love that. You wasn't afraid, and the plan kind of assured you
yeah.
That you were going to be okay. You were confident. And I think that that's some of the things that people need to hear is that your confidence in God. And I really love the fact that you trusted something that was bigger than you. Yeah. So before we end this, is it anything you said that there's no secret in God and trust in God, depending on him. Is it anything else that, you know, if someone has to make a choice and they have to make a decision such as the decision that you made, what would you suggest to them? What would your suggestion be?
Well, ain't nothing else left. Depend on God.
Okay.
Ain't nothing left. You ain't got nobody to depend on but God.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. And so what you say now, think of now coming up to the part of raising the 18 kids. So tell us a little bit about that. How did that work?
Every day is a new day. You don't know what. Just get ready for a new day. Because no day is the same. Mm-hmm. And that's why you got to pray. That's why I tell a person they should always pray. Mm-hmm. Every day is a brand new day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need God so much. Sometime I have went to the mirror and just looked at myself and talked to myself and asked God what to do.
Wow.
I don't know what to do.
Wow.
So difficult days ahead, but you promise to never leave me and never forsake me. Say you be with me always. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do.
Wow.
You got the lead. You got the guide. You got to show me. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see it. You just can't just go out here and do something on your own. You got to lean and depend on God. I'm depending on him. And you got to tell God you're depending on
him.
Love it. I remember, you know, sometimes I would catch you in the middle of the night. You'll be sitting
stay up and
meditate.
And pray.
I do that now. Mm-hmm. Show me the way. I don't know the way. Mm-hmm. I have to tell God. Mm-hmm. And so God will do that.
Love it.
Never leave you.
Love it.
Never for a second.
So we're appreciative of it. Thank you for
appreciate
being an awesome role model for me. Somebody that you definitely, one of the things that I say that I got from you growing up was don't run from responsibility, but run into it. So just having this awesome interview with you, it kind of helped me to realize I hear in your story that you never ran away from the responsibility, but you ran into it.
I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a man should run into it with all his heart. No running off, leaving a girl with a baby, with family. Mm-hmm. She can't take it out of herself. That's why God made two, a man and a woman. Mm-hmm. See, the kids need both of their parents. They don't need to be by themselves, running around. Ain't no man going to treat your boy like you treat him. No woman going to treat a girl like you, a woman will treat her. Mm-hmm. And that's why they need both of their parents.
Right.
And that's the way life go.
Well, like I say, I really appreciate it. This is going to be something that I reflect on probably, like you said, every day, because this is so important to know, especially today. You know, like you're saying, running out and doing things on your own, you should.
Can't do that.
Yeah. Trust God and trust the higher power.
We trust that you were able to get information that would help you as you are making your changes, you're growing, you're developing. One of the things that he mentioned in the interview, I know he was challenged at the end with some of the audio. However, basically he continued to talk in regards to the fact that he never made any decisions without trusting the Lord. One of the things I want to say to all of us and keep in mind as we talk about the past, the present, and the future is the fact that change is going to occur. Change is inevitable, but growth is optional. It's not what happened. It's how you are developing from what happened. I want to say again that the kit, the toolkit that will help you not quit is the fact that you have to learn how to master putting the negative in the trash can and putting the positive in your treasure chest. You paid attention to the interview. He kept referring back to his higher source. People is bigger than us. it's that lesson right there should be able to encourage us all on how we can not allow what the external. Think about what he was saying. He never put a lot of emphasis, as much as I wanted him to really talk in general about the external, never did. He focused on the internal. So pay attention to that, people. That is all about the internal, how you are allowing the inner dialogue to cause you to stay in the fog, come out the fog, do what's best for you, and live your life that is true. I want to say this, if I have not said it to you before, that you are a gift, and you are a gift to this world. So faith in God as you make your change. Do not become a victim of change, but a change agent. One of the things that really stands out the most to me is about something I learned a long time ago. And it was about this thing called a catalyst. They never change regardless to what is happening, but its unchanging principles becomes a part of the change. But that catalyst, let me go back to the catalyst, because I was talking about at the end, us being that change agent. But this catalyst is an object that does not change regardless to the things that's happening around it. And what I mean by that, because sometimes it's important for you to change, but I want you to think about the fact your principles should not change. If you hear what, let's sum it up, wrap it up, look back over the interview, his principles never changed. Regardless if it was coming from the south to the north, regardless if it was raising 18 children, regardless if it was making it through a marriage, he didn't even talk about that, a marriage of 50 some plus years, raising children in three different states. He had a family that he raised in Florida, have a brother in Milwaukee, have us in Chicago, well, really four, I didn't even pay this attention, my sisters, I have two sisters that came from Mississippi. So in four different states, my dad was able not to change his principles, had the faith in God to make the change that he needed so that he would not become a victim of change. A lot of us, if we're not preparing ourselves, and we're talking about from the past to the present, that's ultimately going to determine your future. So here we're saying again, as we're wrapping it up, your past happened. Your present is now. And we know the Bible says don't give thought to the future because let the future take care of itself. That's true. But the principle is I'm going to stand on what I believe. So what I believe can take care of itself for my future. You ought to say that to yourself. You ought to say that to yourself. You ought to say that to yourself. That I am going to stand on my principle today. So I can have what I say I can have for my future. I'm not going to allow my past to stop me now. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, and pressing toward the mark of the prize, which is in the high calling of Christ Jesus. So whatever you prescribe to, whatever you believe in, I'm going to say it again. I hope it is working for you, and I'm hoping it's helping you to make sure that your past is not your present. So what I challenge you to do is I challenge you to, first of all, not run from your responsibility. Run into them with some principles that's going to help you to stand and not fall apart. That's number one. Next challenge I'm going to challenge you to do is choose the change. You choose the change you desire. And we're talking about being going from hurt to heal. You choose to challenge yourself to be healed and to eventually and ultimately be made whole. Then we want you to challenge yourself to be the wise person in any situation, because fools multiply when wise men are silent. So you speaking up in your wisdom can help the fools not to multiply. Then we're going to challenge you to be the righteous person that does something, because evil men succeed when righteous men do nothing. So as you are succeeding, as my dad stood up, been there for his family, he was able to not allow evil thoughts, evil practices, things that happen. The Bible even talks about not to be jealous and envious of the oppressor. I always wondered about that. But we can be so envious and so upset with the oppressor that we wind up modeling their ways. My dad never did that. My dad, although we had issues, and I talked about it on the other podcast, not going to self-indulge into that, but as someone was saying, that we are in that process of breaking the generational curse, because what happened is what happened. That's in the trash can, people. Now I'm treasuring what the present. I'm treasuring the present, and I'm not worrying about the future, because as I take care of my right now, the future is going to take care of itself. So we want you to be the one to bring the light, because darkness rules when light is absent. So you bring in a light. Now you're bringing a light to a present day situation. Then we want you to be the one that does not ignore solutions. Problems reign when solutions are ignored. So God bless you with that. We pray it was a help. We pray that you are able to continue this journey. It is work, people. We don't want you to think that it's something that occurs overnight. It's work, and you have to continue to work daily. I just pray that as you're listening to the podcast, you're telling somebody else, first of all, you're sharing it with others. You're letting people know that this is a way to deal with tragedy that has occurred in your life. All right. So one of the things, so we want to also make mention before we get out of here, want to make mention of the songwriter, the musician, the recording artist, TJ Connor, where his CDs, Assorted Flowers, Forbidden Love, and Midnight Wave, I believe he has another one out there also, can be purchased at tjconnor@herenow.com. Also, his website is tjconnor.com. And then we have Miss Shackley lady herself. I like to say that at 773-972-6186. Me and her is going to do another sit down talk and go into some details about how we can definitely make sure we're taking care of this three part being of ours, our spirit, our mind, and then also our body, spirit, mind, body. All right. That will help you be made whole. So we're looking at it all the way around. And then we really want to, the next time she comes on the program, we're going to talk about how we can enhance your finances, because that's one of the things that we're going to target, because we don't want to just be saying we're made whole and we're broke, because now we have some mental challenges with that. So with that being said, we're going to pray. And again, Ms. Teresa's number is 773-972-6186. Very soon you will be able to access Shackley products off of my website. So we are working on that. You continue to keep us in prayer. And before we end it, we're going to dedicate again the song to all my faithful listeners that is listening and telling your friends. I challenge you now to tell your friends. I challenge you also to make sure that you get the book Spiritual Sense. That as we talked all about it, we was all in it today from my dad and what he was sharing, because that was spiritual sense. Going in faith is spiritual sense at its best. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thou God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Something was said, something was expressed, a vitamin, a spiritual nugget, God, that can help somebody that was not feeling the best that they could and should prior to hearing this podcast. I pray words of healing, words of deliverance, words right now, God, as we had mentioned to one of our listeners, oh God, that we specifically, every time we talk about the health aspect, we think about them and the treatments that they're going. And we pray right now, Lord, for all our listeners, all every condition, every situation, a miracle right now. I declare it and decree it, a miracle in whatever they're thinking right now.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thankful, grateful for every breath, appreciative of good health, content with all the blessings, pleased to not have been overwhelmed by stress, thankful for family and friends, and love that never ends, obliged by the days, not pagan ways or commercial traditions, happy with all memories with wonderful conditions, thankful to open an eye, buddies that have comforted us during the cry, the one that held the umbrella in the rain, comforted the heart in the pain, thankful, not for a celebrated ritual, but a smile that's habitual, a hug and embrace, love that fills the empty space. Thankful, not just for a holiday, satisfied with the smiles that make up the bouquet, all the ones that decided to stay. Friends and family that's as lovely as flowers, happily overwhelmed by the ones that produce love showers, gratified with all the joyous hours, because I'm thankful.